exploding in Tel Aviv following a fresh missile attack by Yemen that targeted Ben Gurion Airport.
Triumphing for the oppressed Palestinian people and in support of their beloved and struggling resistance, the missile force targeted Ben Gurion Airport in the occupied region of Jaffa using ballistic missiles. The operation successfully achieved its objective. Through this operation, the Yemeni armed forces confirmed the failure of the American aggression to prevent Yemen from continuing its support operations for the oppressed Palestinian people.
Yahya Sari also reported an attack against U.S. warships led by aircraft carrier USS Harry S. Truman in the Red Sea. The Yemeni Armed Forces spokesman emphasized the American vessels were targeted three times in 24 hours. The Brigadier General noted that the operations involved multiple cruise missiles and drones, showcasing Yemen's growing defense capabilities. The spokesman stressed the attacks on U.S. and Israeli targets will not come to an end until the aggression on Gaza stops and the siege is lifted. The U.S. military has been bombing Yemen intensively in recent days. The Israeli regime continues with deadly attacks on Gaza, killing and injuring more innocent Palestinians as they mark Eid al-Fitr. 20 people were killed in their latest attacks, including at least five children. An airstrike on Al-Mawasi refugee camp claimed the lives of three young girls who were dressed in new clothes for what was supposed to be a day of celebration. Three more were killed in the seven cities of Khan Yunis and Rafah, and 10 others got injured. Israel has also launched a ground operation in Rafah days after unilaterally ending the ceasefire deal with Hamas and resuming attacks on Gaza in March 18th. The renewed aggression has killed more than 920 Palestinians, bringing the death toll since October 2023 to around 50,300. More than 114,000 others have been injured. Now, at a news conference in Ramallah, the president of the Palestinian Red Crescent Society says that the fate of nine paramedics remains unknown for the eighth consecutive day after they came under heavy Israeli fire in Rafah. The bodies of several paramedics were found in horrific conditions on Saturday. Yunus al-Khatib strongly condemned Israel for targeting the paramedics as they were carrying out their humanitarian mission, adding that the Security Council and the international community need to intervene.
The last contact we know of was between the team, whether injured but alive, and the Israeli soldiers. And there has been a conversation in Hebrew between both sides. So our assumption should be that at least most of the team or part of the team is alive. We are awaiting news from the Israeli side.
PRCS holds the occupation authorities fully responsible for the safety and lives of its EMTs, particularly as they continue to obstruct PRCS teams from accessing the area to determine their colleagues' fate.
A rally has been held in the South Korean capital Seoul against the Israeli genocide in Gaza and U.S. crackdown on pro-Palestine students. Protesters also marked Land Day and slammed Tel Aviv's plans to displace Palestinians. Our correspondent Frank Smith reports from the South Korean capital.
Palestinians and their supporters in Seoul gathered to draw attention to Israel's renewal of its genocide in Gaza and the occupied West Bank. The rally comes amid moves by Israel, backed up by U.S. President Donald Trump, to displace Palestinians, something they say they will never accept.
Despite all attempts by this enemy to pressure the people of Palestine to leave their homes and lands by intimidating and killing them, what happened in 1948 and what happened in 1976 and what happened in the history of our struggle against the occupation, the displacement and land theft will never happen again.
Conditions in the Gaza Strip have become even more atrocious, with recent Israeli massacres killing hundreds of women and children in single days.
Palestinian Land Day commemorates the 1976 protest of Israel's appropriation of Palestinian land. Israel is now engaged in what appears to be the full occupation of Gaza and the West Bank, seeking to drive out Palestinians completely. Simply put, ethnic cleansing.
Meanwhile, in the U.S., college students, including Palestinian Mahmoud Khalil and South Korean Chung Yun So, have been targeted for deportation over their support of Palestine. However, around the world, other activists and supporters of Palestine will not back down.
Many university students in the United States are being oppressed for participating in the Palestinian solidarity movement. So as someone who is participating in the movement here in South Korea, I strongly condemn the U.S. government and express solidarity with our activists who are being oppressed.
Despite years of Israeli blockades, land confiscations, and the ongoing genocide, Palestinians, with their supporters, demand their right to exist, resist, and return. Frank Smith, Seoul.
The Islamic movement in Nigeria has condemned the brutal attack on the Good Day rallies, resulting in the killing of at least six demonstrators and the arrest of hundreds. Our correspondent, Anjum Abdullahi, has the details from the Nigerian capital, Abuja.
The Islamic movement in Nigeria has held a press conference following the Nigerian army's crackdown on protesters who were holding a rally in Abuja on the International Quds Day. Addressing a press conference, the Islamic movement said while the Quds Day rally was held peacefully in many countries of the world, it was marred by violence in Abuja, Nigeria's capital city. Members of the Islamic movement expressed their strong condemnation of the brutality of the Quds Day attack, saying there was no form of provocation from the demonstrators that warranted the high level of violence unleashed by Nigerian security forces, resulting in loss of lives and injuries.
Reliable information confirmed that the Guard Brigade and the police have arrested 380 protesters, including women and children. So far, we have six bodies that have been killed, and the number is changing, because we have some information that some have been killed and been taken away to some undisclosed hospitals.
The Islamic movement said this incident is the latest in a series of similar events where security forces have been abusing their power by targeting innocent and defenseless civilians who are exercising their legal rights. They accused the Nigerian authorities of double standards because while they give the impression of supporting Palestine abroad, they attacked and killed free Palestinian demonstrators at home.
We are demanding for, one, unconditional release of all that have been arrested in connection with the 2025 Abuja International Quds Day procession held on the 28th of March 2025. We are also demanding the prosecution of those responsible for the killings.
Meanwhile, the Nigerian police force has accused the demonstrators of killing one of its officers, a claim the Islamic movement has denied. The Islamic movement continues to reiterate that it is not a violent group and has never advocated any form of violence in its religious activities. It says that violence usually erupts when security forces arrive to disrupt its peaceful activities. Danjuma Abdullahi, Abuja.
President Masoud Pezeshkian says that direct talks with the U.S. over Iran's peaceful nuclear program are rejected by Ayatollah Khamenei in the response sent to a letter from President Donald Trump.
The response by Iran's leader to Donald Trump's letter was delivered to the U.S. contact in Amman by our foreign minister. In that response, direct negotiations have been rejected. But regarding indirect talks, Iran has always been involved in such talks, and Iran's leader has emphasized that indirect talks can still continue.
Speaking at a cabinet meeting, Masoud Pezeshkian has stressed Iran does not avoid talks. It's the U.S. that has caused mistrust by breaching its promises. The president added, Americans must prove that they can be trusted. On Friday, Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi also rejected direct talks with the U.S. under pressure. In a phone call with his British counterpart, Araghchi stressed that negotiations under the shadow of maximum pressure and military threats are meaningless. Donald Trump has reinstated his maximum pressure policy against Iran by imposing more sanctions after returning to the White House. Now, since the new regime took power in Syria, the country has seen no political stability, only worsening economic and security crises. Now, while Abu Mohammed al-Julani had promised an inclusive transitional government by the 1st of March, he instead issued a constitutional declaration, leaving many Syrians disillusioned and fueling uncertainty about the nation's future.
The constitutional declaration was expected to lay the foundation for a democratic transition that represents all Syrians. Instead, it centralized power in the hands of Julani, granting him absolute control over government appointments, including ministers, third of the parliament, and a committee that will appoint the rest, while restricting any oversight on his authority.
The declaration contradicts the aspirations of Syrians for democracy, political pluralism, and peaceful power transition. Instead of allowing the people to elect their leaders, it strips them of that right. Even the parliament can neither grant confidence to the government nor hold it accountable.
Critics argue that the declaration lacks true democratic foundations, concentrating authority in a single leader rather than ensuring fair representation for all components of Syrian society. The disappointment appeared in the small number of people celebrating the anniversary of the Syrian revolution, which did not exceed a few hundred.
Unfortunately, the constitutional declaration leans away from democracy, placing excessive power in the hands of the president and excluding genuine participation. Worse, it addresses transitional justice selectively, shifting all blame to one side instead of ensuring accountability for all parties.
Beyond legal concerns, recent events on the Syrian coast have raised serious fears about the country's future. Armed factions linked to the new regime have been accused of grave human rights violations, including mass killings, acts that some experts warn may amount to crimes of genocide.
What happened in the Syrian coastal region raises serious concerns about the future and the potential for further oppression. While I hope for a solution that satisfies all Syrians, the current situation leaves many in fear of what's to come.
As Syrians grapple with a deepening crisis, the constitutional declaration has only added to political discontent and growing fears about the country's future. With power concentrated at the top and violence escalating, hopes for democracy seem more distant than ever. Ali Mohammed, Damascus.
A pro-Palestine rally has been held in central Rome. Thousands joined an initiative calling to stop the Israeli aggression in the Occupied Palestinian Alliance and slammed the EU for complicity in the regime's genocide in the Gaza Strip. From Rome, Max Civelli has a report.
Thousands of people have staged a rally in central Rome dubbed Stop Genocide, Stop Any Support to Israel. The initiative had been called by a string of pro-Palestine groups, including the Palestinian Youth Movement, the Palestinian Association of Rome, and the Anti-Zionist Network, and supported by base unions and political parties such as Power to the People and Communist Refoundation. The rally was attended by people from all walks of life.
In the previous rally, I put 13,000 children killed by Israel in Gaza in my placard. I have amended that writing today, as you can see, because the count has reached over 20,000 slaughtered Palestinian children. It is unbelievable that the whole West is supporting this genocide.
During the rally, protesters were seen carrying signs and chanting slogans such as Israel assassin and denouncing the Israeli terrorism as they marched through Rome's streets. Protesters at the rally slammed the European Union for its complicity with Israel in the ongoing genocide in Gaza. Specifically, they condemned the vice president of the European Parliament, Italian Pina Picerno, for holding meetings with representatives of a far-right Israeli organization that supports settlers in the occupied Palestinian territories.
Israel exists thanks to the support and the complicity of the EU, the NATO countries, and of course the US. The European Commission von der Leyen once said, Israel had made desert bloom into a democracy by loading a genocidal regime, she made herself ridiculous.
Zionism is the main cause of the EU's and the US complicity is Israel's genocide. Zionism has corrupted the West's leaders. It has infiltrated the European Union institutions, the Italian institutions, to the core to push forward its agenda.
Pro-Palestine rallies were also held in other Italian cities at the weekend, including Milan, Palermo and Bergamo, Max Civili, Rome.
And that's all for this newscast from Tehran.
A diverse range of programs. Youth. Spirituality. Culture. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listener's Special Program on this beautiful Sunday, March 30, 2025. I'm Atefa Irfani, hosting this program today. And dear listeners, as tomorrow is the first of the Islamic month of Shawwal, and today is the end of the holy month of Ramadan, the holy month of fasting, I, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, congratulate our Muslim listeners on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr, the greatest Eid of Muslims. Dear listeners, as you may know, Listeners' Special Program is a program which is broadcast on Sundays, and this is a program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. After a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back, dear listeners. In this edition of Listeners' Special Program, we will read emails from Bashir Ahmad from Pakistan, one of our old and regular listeners, and another email from India, this time from Anand Mohan Bain, one of our old and regular listeners. And for your information, dear listeners, the reception reports that you send are very helpful to us, especially to our engineers and technicians, because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service for our listeners around the world. And all of you who have sent in reception reports will be receiving a piece of EQSL or electronic QSL from IRIB English Radio. After a short break, I will talk about the Persian Gulf. The Persian Gulf is a Mediterranean kind of sea in Western Asia, and it is connected to the Gulf of Oman in the east by the Strait of Hormuz spanning some 250,000 square kilometers. The Persian Gulf is bound by the Arvand River in the north, which forms the frontier between Iran and Iraq, and the Strait of Hormuz in the south, which links the Persian Gulf to the Sea of Oman and the Indian Ocean. It shares boundaries with littoral states like Iran, Oman, Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates. The Strait of Hormuz connects the Persian Gulf to the Gulf of Oman. From millennia BC up to now, the Persian Gulf has always been referred to with the same ancient name, or the Persian Sea, in a variety of books, travelogues, documents, maps, historical researches, and numerous international documents written in different languages. Historians and researchers have emphatically used the same name, particularly in the credible Islamic and Arabic sources of reference. In the Greek sources, the body of water that bordered this province came to be known as the Persian Gulf. In the book of Nearchus, known as Indic, 300 BC, the word Persicon Colpus is mentioned for multiple times, meaning Persian Gulf. During the years 550 to 330 BC, coinciding with the sovereignty of the Achaemenid Persian Empire over the West Asia region, especially the whole part of the Persian Gulf and some parts of the Arabian Peninsula, the name of Persian or Pars Sea is widely found in the compiled written text. At an official level, the United Nations and various other international bodies recognize the Persian Gulf as the established and recommended name based on historical usage. That is also the official position of the U.S. and other major countries across the world. Welcome back. Before we continue to talk about the Persian Gulf, I just wanted to read one of your emails. One of your emails from Pakistan, from Bashir Ahmad, one of our old and regular listeners. Bashir says, "Hello, IRIB. First of all, warm greetings to you all there in Tehran. My name is Bashir and I am one of the regular listeners of your radio and I really like it. Allow me to say most of the programs are utilizing to the worldwide audience, and I must say I love best listeners' special program, which is my favorite. Please send me the good news about all the programs. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Bashir Ahmad from Pakistan. Many thanks for writing this email. Please accept our EQSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon." Anand Mohan Bain from India, one of our old and regular listeners, says, "Namaste, I listen to your radio programs regularly. We have a listeners club. We regularly organize competitions and give prizes to the winners. First of all, salam and warm greetings to Anand Mohan Bain, our old and regular listener from India. Thank you very much for sending this email to IRIB English Radio. Please accept our EQSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon." Welcome back. The Persian Gulf is the warmest water expanse known with dry semi-tropical climate. Its widest part reaches 180 miles and its depth is from 10 to 30 meters in the west to 93 meters, which is the deepest point 15 kilometers away from the island Biktum. The low depth of Persian Gulf constantly causes land to advance into the sea. Despite its highly salty water, there are 200 underground water springs flow on the floor of the Persian Gulf and 25 springs with palatable water on its shore, all arising from Zagros or Pars Mountains in Iran. Located in the Strait of Hormuz, just 60 kilometers away from the Omani shore, Qeshm is an island with a great abundance of wildlife and plenty of unique geological formations, many of which are listed as UNESCO heritage sites. The largest island in the Persian Gulf, Qeshm is fringed with biologically diverse mangrove forests, attractive beaches, and 60 Bandari or local villages. Qeshm Island is located in the Persian Gulf, and it is one of the most popular tourist islands in Iran. Due to the beautiful landscape of this island, it is known as the Pearl of the Persian Gulf. Bu Musa, Greater Tomb, and Lesser Tomb are also located near Hormuz Strait. And I have to add that the West Asia first discovery of oil in the Iranian city of Masjid Soleiman in the early 19th century increased the geopolitical weight of the Persian Gulf region, and consequently, the start of a wave of explorations, extractions, and exploitations changed the region's and world's history. The Persian Gulf is now considered as the energy hub of the world. Close to 20 million barrels of crude and condensates are shipped from the Persian Gulf and through the strategic Strait of Hormuz per day. With the normal global oil consumption amounting to about 100 million BPD, that means almost a fifth of world demand passes through the strategic strait. About 50,000 ships navigate through the waterway annually, of which 17,000 are oil tankers that head to Asian countries. However, the variable geopolitical factors in the Persian Gulf are not merely limited to oil. In fact, different periods of history have laid different impacts on the strategic water body. And here we come to the end of our today's program. And once again, as tomorrow is the first of the Islamic month of Shawwal, and today is the end of the holy month of Ramadan, the month of fasting, I, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, congratulate our Muslim listeners on the occasion of Eid al-Fitr, the greatest Eid of Muslims. Congratulations, everybody. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا أو يهو بليس استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What is the lesson that we have learned from the fasting of the month of Ramadan? I would like to just speak on one theme, which is from Dua-i Makarib al-Akhlaq. Unfortunately, we only recited in one of the Shab-i Qadr in month of Ramadan. Remember, Dua-i Makarib al-Akhlaq is not for Ramadan. It is for all the time. That is just a way of introducing, you know, knowing to know that there is a dua known as Dua-i Makarim al-Akhlaq, in which Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam, talks about the noble characters, and you know, he talks about it from different angles, and it's a long dua, I know, but this is something at least once in a while. Keep that in your mind to recite that with translation. One of the important things that there is a sabq ila al-fadila, competing for the virtues. I don't think when we talk about religious issues, virtues, and fadail, we don't have this concept of competing, you know, against one another for it. You know, we are familiar with the competition in education, career, business, sports, mashallah, the community is very much into it, you know. But we need to focus perhaps more on the competition on a very different plane and dimension. And that is competing for the salvation in the eternal life, in the hereafter. You see, those who do not believe in the hereafter, they are busy competing and running for the comfort of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this term where he says in three places in the Quran, yusari'una, you know, they are hastening. Yusari'una fil kufr. They are hastening towards, you know, disbelief. Another ayah says, yusari'una fil ithmi wal udwan wa aqlihim al-sukht. They are, you know, hastening and going in their competition for sins and for rebelliousness, and for eating the haram. They do this because in their views, the life ends with death. And so their competition basically is focused on planning for this dunya, for the old age, for the retirement only. And I am not saying don't plan for your retirement. What I'm saying that if you believe that there is something beyond the retirement, there is a barzakh after that, and there is akhirah after that, then our perspective would be different. You know, and that's where we have to focus on this hastening and the competition and running for something else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same words. He says, yusari'una fil khayrat. Those who believe in the akhirah, they actually run and compete for in the field of goodness. So to run in the field and track of goodness and virtue, especially when it comes to charity, is an important lesson that we learn from the fasting of the month of Ramadan. Especially if you look at the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the daily namaz, you know, dua after dua, after the namaz. This is, if you look at that list there, you know, we are told to be concerned for the poor and for the needy and for those who don't have decent clothing, for those who are hungry, those who have been displaced from their homeland, those who are innocently in the prison. And this is where, you know, even concern for the oppressed people around the world comes in. And that is why our sympathy and support for these Palestinians in Gaza becomes more pronounced during the charity in the month of Ramadan. And so when we talk about this, you know, field and track of good character and virtues, what is the goalpost? What is the prize at the end that you're looking for? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it. He says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْعَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ سارع means, you know, go fast in that run, in that competition, towards the maghfira, forgiveness of your Lord, and towards the Jannah. That is your end there. And the Jannah, whose, you know, space is like the heavens and the earth put together. U'iddat lil-muttaqeen, which has been prepared for the righteous people. In another ayah, it says, sabiqu ila maghfiratin min rabbikum wa jannatin. You know, sabiqun means try to be ahead of others. Again, the concept of, you know, competition in virtues. You know, be min as-sabiqeen. Towards the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgiveness of your Lord, and the Jannah, whose expansion is equal to the heavens and the earth. U'iddat lil-ladhina amanu billahi wa rasulihi, which has been prepared for those who believe in Allah and His messengers. Dhalika fadlullah yuti'ihi man yasha', that is the grace of Allah, He gives to whomever He wants. Wallahu dhul fadlil azim. Du'a Kumail from our Imam Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. If you look at the last passage of that du'a, even there, one of the things that you ask Allah, that you, Allah, bless me, hatta asrahu ilayka fi mayadin as-sabiqin wa usri ilayka fi al-baridin. You know, Allah, give me the ability so that I may pass quickly towards you in the field of those who are foremost. It means there is a race going on of the good people, and you want to be among those who are sabiqeen, who are in the front. وَأُصْرِ عَلَيْكَ فِي الْبَارِذِينَ, and those who hasten towards you among those who are fast in their move. And this is where we have to realize that, remember, the competition for dunya is fine, but there is a more important competition for the virtues in the akhirah. It's not that you shouldn't be working for your dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, one last message. وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ. You know, by the means of what Allah has given to you, seek the abode of the hereafter. But then immediately says, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبُكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا, but do not forget your share of this world. Use this dunya for your akhirah. You can't, build your akhirah in the akhirah. There's no material there, no money there to buy anything. Whatever is there is here. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, we should use this dunya for the akhirah, and of course not forget our temporary abode either.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Matin. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Let's listen to the famous reciters of the Holy Quran in the month of Allah. Brother Muhammad Reza Birya, only in IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to this segment of the month of Allah. In this segment, we'll be talking about famous reciters of the Quran in the world of Islam. Today, we're going to be talking about Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar. Iranians very much like this reciter, especially those who are fans of Quran recitation. He first visited Iran in the 1990s, and he was warmly received by all Iranians. This great reciter was born in 1950 in the Qahliya Governorate of Egypt. He memorized the Quran at an early age, and then learned the rules of tajweed and other sciences pertaining to the recitation of the Quran. There were other reciters in this region who Sheikh Shahat Anwar was very much influenced by them, especially Sheikh Abdussamad Az-Zanati. This reciter influenced Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar the most. And of course, another reciter was Sheikh Hamdi Zamil. Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar quickly became a very talented reciter. He had a very beautiful voice, a very good voice, and he became famous all over Egypt and all over the world. He visited Iran several times. The first time that he visited Iran, he recited the Quran in different cities of Iran. One of his best recitations was in Mashhad, the place where Sheikh Shahat Anwar had called the center of Quran recitation in the world after Egypt. He recited Surah Al-Ma'idah, verses 114 to 115. In Mashhad. Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar has three sons. His first son and his third son, his eldest son and his third son, who are Sheikh Anwar Shahat and Sheikh Mahmoud Shahat, respectively, are both very good reciters of the Quran. And they visit Iran occasionally to recite the Quran. Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar had told his sons, these two sons of his, that when you go to Iran, make sure that you recite the Quran well. Make sure that you care about Iran. And that is what we see when we look at the recitations of Sheikh Anwar Shahat and Sheikh Mahmoud Shahat, we see that they recite the Quran very well when they come to Iran. Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar, in his late 40s or early 40s, he contracted a disease which was, he couldn't recite the Quran anymore. It was a disease of the larynx. And he couldn't recite the Quran anymore. And in the year 2008, at the age of 58, Sheikh Shahat Muhammad Anwar passed away. May Allah bless this reciter and elevate his ranks. With this introduction, let's listen to Surah Al-Ma'idah, verses 114 to 115 by Sheikh Shahat Anwar, which was performed in Mashhad. Let's enjoy this recitation.
Said Jesus, the Son of Mary, O Allah, our Lord, send down to us a table spread with food from the heaven, to be for us a festival for the first of us and the last of us, and a sign from you. And provide for us, and you are the best of providers. Allah said, Indeed, I will send it down to you. But whoever disbelieves afterwards from among you, then indeed will I punish him with a punishment by which I have not punished anyone among the worlds.
رحمن يا رحمن ساعدني يا رحمن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. Or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with a number of distinguished reciters of the Holy Quran in a gathering titled Communion with the Holy Quran. This meeting took place in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on the first day of the blessed month of Ramadan, March 2nd, 2025. There are thousands of titles, topics, and headings in the Quran that can become a part of the common intellectual knowledge of the general populace. What makes this possible? Good recitation. That's when the people's Quranic knowledge will increase and they will think in the way that the Quran has taught. A person's movements and the way they walk are often a reflection of their thoughts. So, reading and reciting the Quran, the work that you are doing, is this important? It can work miracles and produce remarkable results. However, this is contingent upon observing the etiquettes for recitation. This is what makes your duty more significant. You need to follow the proper etiquettes for recitation. The first etiquette is that when you recite the Quran, whether you are by yourself at home or among a group here or anywhere else, you need to keep in mind that you are in the presence of God and are reading His words. Mindful of the fact that you are in the presence of the Lord and you are conveying His message and delivering His words to us. This will create a certain feeling in you. This is very important. That is the first etiquette. read the Quran while paying attention to its meaning. Today, I noticed that some of our brothers did this effectively, and the recitations were read while paying attention to the meaning of the words. Sometimes no attention is paid to the meaning, so the recitation has no impact. When you pay attention to the meaning and understand what truth is emerging from your throat, this is what it means to pay attention to the meaning. It has an impact. A person may be a native Arabic speaker, and Arabic is their mother tongue, but they do not pay attention to the words they are uttering. In other words, it is essential that we understand what we are reciting. This is what it means to pay attention to the meaning. And recite the Quran using tartil. Of course, in the terminology that is common among us today, tartil refers to the way that recitations are read in these Quranic gatherings.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail